politics with security.
Let's talk about the biggest conversations.
Made of trustworthy ideas.
Passionately connected
to everyone.
Let's talk
on the Nigeria Info 95.1 Abuja.
In our headlines, Kaduna government confirms killing of over 20 persons by bandits. VONDG urges Tinubu to jettison presidential ambition. Senate President says National Assembly will continue to support President Buhari to deliver on mandate. Anthony Fauci suggests Christmas travel will fuel spread of Omicron. Stay tuned for details of the stories and more.
About the biggest conversations made of trustworthy ideas passionately connected to everyone. Let's talk a Nigeria Info 95.1 Abuja.
Your health is a priceless asset. Maintain high personal and environmental hygiene. Good morning, Abuja. My name is Bivan Magoni with the news in detail. Kaduna State Government on Sunday confirmed that bandits killed more than 20 persons and destroyed property worth millions of naira in Giwa local government area of the state on Saturday. Commissioner for Internal Security and Home Affairs, Samia Ruan, who confirmed this in a statement in Kaduna, said the military and police reported to government that more than 20 persons were killed during bandits' attacks on villages in the local government area. The commissioner stated that Governor Nasir Rufai, who received the reports with sadness, sent condolences to the families of the victims and prayed for divine repose of victims' souls. He said the governor ordered the Emergency Management Agency to conduct an urgent assessment of the area towards providing relief. Meanwhile, President Muhammadu Buhari on Sunday condemned renewed banditry attack in Kaduna State. He said the gruesome nature of Saturday's killings in Kauran Fawa, Marke and Ruhia villages in Idasu Ward of Giwa local government area have made him particularly sad and the killings unacceptable. The president's feelings were made known in a statement in Abuja by Senior Special Assistant on Media and Publicity Garba Shehu. President Buhari affirmed that security forces have turned the heat on terrorists who are getting frustrated and are soft-targeting innocent citizens, looting their assets, burning their homes and killing them indiscriminately. The statement said the president reiterated his directive to security and intelligence chiefs to do everything they could to destroy the remaining vestiges of the terrorists. Still on insecurity, the Taraba State Police Command, in a joint operation with the operatives of the Nigeria Police Intelligence Response Team, IRT, have raided various criminal hideouts and rescued some kidnapped victims in the state. Force Public Relations Officer Frank Basso said this in Abuja on Sunday, and that the kidnapped victims are the various hideouts were carefully and successfully rescued and hurt. He added that a cache of weapons and other incriminating items were recovered from the hideouts. The police spokesman stated also that rescued kidnapped victims have been reunited with their families. Basso also stated that 11 notorious kidnapped suspects were arrested for their complicity in crimes and in the recent trend of kidnap in Taraba State. He added that kidnap operations carried out by the suspect were that of a seven personnel of the Nigeria Customs Service and that of a relative of the Emir of Jalingo. Moving on, in the meantime, the Department of State Services has refuted reports that its personnel were abducted on Saturday during a purported attack in Abaji community of the SAT. Spokesman of the service, Dr. Peter Afunanya, stated this while reacting to the viral online report. In a task response, Dr. Afunanya said it is not that its personnel were abducted in Abaji or anywhere in the FCT. The report had claimed that bandits invaded Abaji community during which they killed a vigilante member and whisked away an unspecified number of DSS operatives. In politics, the Director General, Voice of Nigeria, Osita Okechukwu on Sunday, advised the national leader of the All Progressives Congress, Bola Tinubu, to jettison his 2023 presidential ambition. The VONDG, who gave their advice in a statement in Abuja, stressed that Tinubu should rather be a kingmaker and back a younger presidential candidate from the southeast. Okechukwu further advised the former Lagos State Governor to throw his weight behind a younger person from the south, especially the southeast geopolitical zone, to emerge as the country's next president in 2023. He said by so doing, Tinubu would have united the south forever. The VON boss added that if the APC national leader widens his search, he would definitely find a credible candidate from the southeast who would easily defeat the presumed candidate of the People's Democratic Party, former Vice President Atiku Abubakar. In the meantime, President of the Senate Amolaon says the National Assembly will continue to support President Muhammadu Buhari to enable him to deliver more dividends of democracy to Nigerians. Senator Lawan said this at an event on Sunday in Gombe State. He stated that President Buhari had provided great leadership for both the country and the All Progressives Congress since coming on board in 2015. According to him, President Buhari has shown great desire to turn around the fortunes of the country, and he had been relentlessly in that quest. He stated that though the country is not out of the woods, but that President Buhari is doing his best, and for that the National Assembly will commend him. Moving on, the Niger government has been called upon to begin the implementation of the recommendations of the UN Committee Against Torture. The Executive Director, Prisoners Rehabilitation and Welfare Action, PRAWA, Dr. Uju Agomo, made a call in Abuja at a consultative workshop for government agencies on the report of the UN Committee Against Torture. He said despite Nigeria's failure to contribute in the document, it is advisable that government reel out mechanism to achieve the recommendations.
First thing is that all the government agencies need to take on each of the recommendations that have been made by the UN Committee Against Torture and analyze it in terms of how can it be effectively implemented. Which agencies can do what? Which agencies currently does their activities align with these recommended interventions to address those things that they have projected? Yeah? But also, who currently has certain budgets or budget allocation that can make that work?
Speaking for that, Dr. Agomo charged relevant stakeholders on the need to charge government to utilize the recommendations.
Yes, it is the responsibility of the government. We have to hold government accountable. We have to support government to whatever level we can, because everyone must understand it is a collective responsibility to get Nigeria to do the right thing, and because it benefits us as a people. So we have to make sure that don't get this kind of shame anymore. That's not just in terms of the obligation under Article 19 of the United Nations Convention Against Torture, Cruel, Inhuman and Degrading Treatment, which is the reporting obligations, but every international instrument that Nigeria has signed.
Recall that the federal government, despite a series of engagement, is yet to comply with the obligation to the Convention Against Torture by sending its report to the committee in accordance with Article 19 of the Convention Against Torture Treaty. Thank you for staying with us. Coming up next, we have business, foreign, entertainment and sports stories.
About the biggest conversations made of trustworthy ideas passionately connected to everyone. Let's talk on Nigeria Info 95.1 Abuja.
And now the business news.
Bringing our time to 7:09 and to the rest of the news. The Minister of State for Labour and Employment, Pastor Festus Keamu, says the federal government has disbursed 100 billion naira with a view to creating jobs for the teeming unemployed persons in the country. Keamu said this in a statement made available by his media office on Sunday in Abuja. The minister, represented by the Director General of the National Directorate of Employment, Abubakar Nuhu Fikpo, said this during the launch of the disbursement of empowerment items to women in Jos, Plateau State. According to Keamu, the disbursement of 100 billion naira was done through the Development Bank of Nigeria since 2017 to facilitate small and medium enterprises with a view of creating jobs to the country's teeming unemployed.
From around the world.
top U.S. infectious disease experts says travel during Christmas will increase the spread of the Omicron COVID-19 variant even among the fully vaccinated. Dr. Anthony Fauci, in an interview on Sunday, said there is no doubt about the fact that Omicron has an extraordinary capability of spreading. Dr. Fauci, who advised the U.S. government on the pandemic, said the variant was now raging through the world. Countries are tightening measures as the heavily mutated variant spreads in Europe, France and Germany, amongst those to issue travel restrictions, and the Netherlands has imposed a strict lockdown over Christmas. Governments are also ramping up their COVID booster vaccination programs. At a researcher said, the additional shot could provide around 85% protection against severe illness.
Take it away with the entertainment news.
Millennium Dome architect Richard Rogers has died at the age of 88. A spokesman said he had passed away quietly on Saturday evening. He first came up to prominence with his radical designs for the Pompidou Center in Paris and the Lloyds of London building. Lord Rogers was regarded as one of the world's most successful and influential architects, and he won most of his industry's major honors. He was knighted in 1991, born in 1933 to an Anglo-Italian family in Florence. He trained at the Architectural Association School of Architecture in London before graduating with a master's from Yale. In the 1970s and 80s, he became widely known for two buildings that were controversial at the time for putting amenities like lifts and air conditioning ducts on the outside, the Pompidou in Paris and the Lloyds building in London.
And now, updates on the sports news.
And finally, to sports. Nigerian international Victor Osimhen could return to action by mid-January when the Partenopei face Bologna in their quest to win the Serie A title for the first time in 3 decades. Osimhen suffered multiple fractures in his face after a clash with Inter defender Milan Skriniar on November 21 in their 3-2 loss to the Serie A champions. Despite initial suggestions that the striker would be out for 90 days after his surgery, the Partenopei were optimistic that the Nigerian international could return in the mouth-watering clash against AC Milan at San Siro on Sunday. Unfortunately, the 22-year-old was unable to feature, having just resumed training with a protective mask. The Nigerian striker, before his injury, had scored 9 goals in 14 games across all competitions while providing 2 assists. RTN News and a look at our top stories. Kaduna government confirms killings of over 20 persons by bandits. The UNDG urges Tinubu to jettison presidential ambition. Senate president says National Assembly will continue to support President Buhari to deliver on mandate. Anthony Fauci suggests Christmas travel with fear of spread of Omicron. And that's the news on 95.1 Nigeria Info, as edited by Abayomi Akinbola. Don't forget, you can always send us eyewitness report as news breaks in your area. Send your information to 09028581885. Follow us on Instagram at Nigerian Info FM Abuja, Facebook at Nigerian Info Abuja, or visit our website www.nigerianinfo.fm or visit Google Play Store to download the mobile app. My name is Bivan Magoni. Good morning, and thank you for staying with us.
In the comfort of your home, on your way to work, in the midst of your daily activities. Your Let's Talk station is here to keep you informed. Only on your number one for talk, 95.1 Nigeria Info. Let's Talk.
Let's Talk.
We must not play politics with security.
Let's talk about the biggest conversations.
Made of trustworthy ideas.
Passionately connected.
Connected to everyone.
Let's Talk.
Let's Talk on Nigeria Info.
95.1 Abuja. Abuja.
Morning Crossfire on your number one news, talk, and sports station, Nigeria Info.
From your number one talk news and sports station, this is the Morning Crossfire
with Femi G Live.
It's 7:15 a.m. Nigerian time. I do hope you follow through with the news right there with Beaver Maguni. Welcome back to the show. This is Morning Crossfire. Let's go into the segment of the show called The Lead, where I'll play for you what a number of newsmakers did say. Well, if you're just joining in, a quick review of some of the big stories as we have it across the papers. Well, police go after a woman for buying new bond for 50,000 naira. And yes, the couple have been arrested. Rev Simon Aregbesola, NIS boss over foreign mission visas and passport contracts. Pregnant woman arrested with 1,442 kilograms of imported skunk in Lagos. Gunmen kill two police bond vehicle in Anambra State. Doctor, friend, planning travel to U.S. murdered in Abuja. Other story, federal government issues travel advice. Lagos vows to clamp down as infection surge. ASU postpones decision on strike, accuses federal government of blackmail. Togo, Benin, Niger paid nothing for Nigeria's power supply as NEC. Other stories of interest that you want to follow through. Desperate opposition politicians out to run down Buhari's achievement. That's according to the Minister of Information. Military raid to Jisa hideout kills scores of bandits in Zamfara and Sokoto Forest. Igbo group raises the alarm over multiple security checkpoints in Southeast. Again, bandits kill 38 burn houses in Kaduna State. Lawmakers talked off as Buhari withheld assent within deadline. These and many more are part of the stories leading the way at this time. Welcome to The Lead.
This is Morning Crossfire.
Live on 95.1. With Femi D Live, Nigeria Info, Abuja, let's talk.
Let's get your calls in at this time and hear from you what you do have to say more about the headlines at this time, okay? We'll also be reading your messages on the WhatsApp portal. The WhatsApp portal remains 080-999. That's the 999, by the way. 30137. You can also join in via the telephone line, which is 0700-951-0000. I'll take those numbers again. That's 0700-951-0000. Facebook.com/Nigeria Info Abuja. There you will find the headlines from some of the papers as we go on later today, and also quite a number of interesting posts. So keep up with us on that platform. And yes, your conversation is also very important to us, and your thoughts as we take them on that very platform. Back to the phone line to hear from you this very morning. This is Morning Crossfire.
Hello.
Welcome to
good morning, Femi.
Good morning. Welcome.
My name is Abdul.
Abdul, good to have you.
I'm calling from your first shot.
All right, Abdul, let's talk.
I want to talk the headline killing in Kaduna State. 30 people in Kaduna State. Have you touched 20 people? It's the insecurity. We're not supposed to be listening to the wait for the government again. Within community, we're supposed to be advisor. We're supposed to be secure ourselves. Try to be united together and make this thing to be ending. Because government cannot do it. Our own security, their power, they cannot do it for us. I think that we can coming back to sit down and unite it. Our youth to be fair to secure ourselves. We see things that is very important to us. We should be guided on and done with our traditional rulers to make this thing to be ended. Because this thing is too much all the time. It's killing. What will I going to do? Because government, I promise to us, they will steal our life and property. They don't do it, Femidim. You know where to go in village now. You must be in the Abuja all the time. To going out, coming back, is very hardly. People that are living in the village, they don't have a rest of mind. This thing, what will I do? If we do something, we apologize then. Please, to stop this thing. Killing.
Okay. All right, my dear friend, thanks for your time and your insight. Thank you so much. Really, thank you so much. Okay, keeping up with your course. Good morning.
Hello,
to
good
you.
Morning.
How are you today?
I'm fine. How is work?
Going on well. Welcome to the show.
It's Kingsley.
All right, Kingsley.
That eight people killed in Kaduna, and houses raised, many killed in Borno, and Igbo groups laments multiple police checkpoints in Southeast. You can see the irony of it. The people who are crying that they are dying because of insecurity, You can't send all these policemen to that area. And those who are saying that these policemen are extorting and harassing them, you still leave those policemen there. You can see the problem we are seeing in the country. You can put a square peg in a square hole, and you are playing politics with security. It can't work. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Kingsley. Okay, keeping up with other calls. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Samidi.
You're welcome to the show.
It's very pathetic, those who have been killed in Kaduna.
Can we start with your name? Can we start with your name? Okay, good.
Why the Kaduna state or other states in the northwest have not been able to set up their own community policing or vigilante or whatever, like done in the southwest? Lagos state was the first to establish the Bobu Wash, and Lagos is secure today. They have not even joined their Motekun because they have a neighborhood watch who is functioning. Why can't the state governor or the neighborhood, the state come together and do something about it and set up this killing? Because the killing are coming in the remote villages where our army and police cannot get there in time. Before they get there, this will run away. It's getting out of hands. And then Dr. Kisuku saying Tinubu is not wrong. Nobody can stop anybody from running. This is a decision. The party will decide. Nigeria will decide at the end. It's open to everybody. Everybody can come up and consent for the presidency of Nigeria. And that's the way it should be. Nobody should stop anybody from running. And also, it's what's happening in Borno. Yeah, the heat is on the bandage, and they want to fight back and head the hotspot. The police, our army, should not relent. They should continue to hit them hard. Very soon, we know we'll get out of these things. It's just for a while. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you for your time. Good morning to you. Welcome to the show. Oh, there. That didn't stay. All right. Well, somebody else must be ready. Good morning. Your radio needs to be turned down.
Hello?
Yes, good morning.
Good morning. My name is Prince Teddy Samuel.
Prince Teddy Samuel, your radio needs to be turned down, please.
Well, let me walk out. Hello?
Okay. I can hear you now. Go on.
My name is Prince Teddy Samuel.
All right. Welcome. Let's talk.
I'm calling you from Airport Road.
Good to have you on.
Yep. I don't like people calling and start complaining. The government of APC have told us right from onset. I keep calling on this program. I said the government have told us that they are coming with change. And this is the change we are getting from this government. So we don't need to complain. It will come to a pass because this is the change they promised us. And this is what we are getting. Good day, family.
All right, good day to you. Okay, moving on. Good morning to you. Welcome to the show.
My name is Uncle Tom.
Uncle Tom, welcome.
Yes. Family, you have never tolerated sarcasm. That is true. I'm trying to put up this radio. I hope it's not obstructing.
No. Okay. Hello? Yes. Okay. I would like you to repeat yourself.
I can't put it off.
You said I've never tolerated
sarcasm.
Are you sure?
Yes, you don't tolerate it.
Because the first call today.
You are a caricature of this thing, of the government.
Mr. Tom.
Yes. Yes.
What you just said about me is not true. The first call today was a sarcastic call, and I did not for a moment interfere. So please be mindful of your choice of what you say that I did or didn't do. Okay.
No, I was already pressing that you have never tolerated.
Never is.
That say you have tolerated one.
Never is a strong word. If you're accusing me of something.
What is going on, which people don't know, is that it's guerrilla warfare.
All right, I'm just going to terminate the call. I really, really, really am. I'm really very concerned when people come up with words and accuse presenters and the likes of that. You really do not know half of the things that we all have to deal with over and over again. All kinds of things. You think it's that when you say never, is that true? Moving on. Don't go after the presenters. Stay with the news. If you go after it, after them, I'll terminate your call or give you reasons not to be on the show. Good morning to you.
Samizia, my big brother. I greet you.
Good morning. How are you today?
Happiest month in advance.
Same to you, dear friend.
Good luck.
Good luck. Okay, I'm with you.
Yes, Femi, I don't know the time you went to Southeast last. I just from Southeast yesterday. And this checkpoint, Femi, is too much.
I've got to go on a break, okay? I'm so sorry I didn't even say this before taking your call.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. So sorry about that.
Back to back and back of the biggest talk on your number one station for talk, Nigeria Info.
Here at 95.1 Nigeria Info. Have a merry, merry Christmas.
This is Morning Crossfire.
And we're back to the Morning Crossfire on your number one news, talk, and sports station, Nigeria Info.
Welcome back to the show. It's 7:36 a.m. Nigerian time, this very lovely day. Wait, the federal government believes there is no food crisis. I say that because the Minister of Agriculture is confident about that. He said this about 5 days ago. Take a listen to what he said.
No, we are not going to have a food crisis by the grace of God. We are doing everything possible. We have the grain still in our silos. We are stocking. We are intensifying farming, dry season, wet season. The ministry will start dry season sometime next month, and then the wet season. And all the other areas that, agencies, MDOs that are working, we are working together to make sure we maintain level of production no matter what.
This is Morning Crossfire.
There you have it, Minister of Agriculture affirming that there will be no food crisis as we have it. Well, not food crisis, and in summary, the prices of food will not go high. I keep thinking about it. We really are in two different realities. Yes and no. I just don't understand it. I really, really don't understand it. I marvel at the realities as captured over and over again by different classes of people, government leaders, government supporters, or the people who oppose the government, those who have opposing ideas. It just baffles me over and over again. All right, well, with regards to private universities, for my head of state, Abubakar, alongside with the River State Governor, Yestem Wike, we're speaking at an event, and he talked about the importance of financial support for private universities. This may be the solution to the idea around ASU and the likes of them going on strike over and over again. But is this the idea we need, especially when we think about the fact that private universities are expensive? Listen to what former head of state Abubakar had to say on this.
For private tertiary education in Nigeria, from the success of FUMS, is what can be achieved when state governments come in to support the provision of a private education in their respective states. The federal government is in a similar vein, being called upon to extend similar support to private universities through the Tertiary Education Trust Fund and other agencies of government through the various initiatives currently being enjoyed only by public institutions.
Education is not just the foundation of development. It is as much the surest and the most potent way to empower every individual. And for me, the reality is that without education, I would not have been a local government chairman. Without education, I would rather have been a chief of staff. Without education, I wouldn't have been a federal minister. And without education, I wouldn't have been governor of Rivers State. This is why, for every opportunity, whether at the local, state, or national level, the provision of quality education to our children, to equip them with the knowledge and skills that they need to become good, hardworking, and productive citizens of our country, has been one of my greatest political achievements in this state. As a local government chairman, I prioritize access to quality education. As Minister of State for Education, I work day and night to advance the rights of Nigerian children to access to quality basic education.
This is Morning Crossfire.
It drives on another point. I'm thinking, come January, ASU will have settled on whether they're going on strike. ASU would have also settled on whether they're going on strike or not. And fundamentally, what there is to deal with in terms of this, it means if you have your kids coming home this December, to stay at home and enjoy the holiday, they just might, if you're not careful, stay at home with you, for the good part of January. who knows, maybe even February, if things don't go as planned. The strikes looks like it's quite imminent. Some say it's blackmail. Both sides are actually claiming blackmail. The government is saying, well, this is not the agreement. This was not what we stipulated as how we said we're going to fulfill the task. But here we go. You're changing the deal right in the middle of the deal at a critical time. The NASU and NASIP, which, by the way, they have two different conditions and reasons to, you know, query how things have gone, will continue to drive on different levels of drama around this. And it gives reason to be worried about what we would achieve at the end of the day. Quality education in Nigeria, oh dear, doesn't look like that's what we would have anytime soon. Okay, here's one. So a few days ago as well, Minister of Information was speaking about the insecurity level in the country. It described the situation where Boko Haram bandits have been degraded. Listen to him yourself.
You see, terrorism is a dynamic thing. Sometimes I give the example of the U.S. to you. You see, you are fighting an unseen enemy. You're not fighting a conventional war. How long did it take Britain to overcome IRA? At the end of the day, it took a Clinton from the U.S. Good Friday Accord to sit down after 10 almost decades. And what is IRA? It's an Irish, the Irish Army, Revolutionary Army, terrorists. What's happening in other parts of the world? You see, terrorists in other parts of the world, you would continue as a government to ensure you engage them, to ensure you contain them. But nobody, I don't care any president will say and say, oh, by next time there will be no banditry. That doesn't say by next time there will be no thieves in Nigeria. But what is important is that please judge us by our achievement. We have not thrown our hands in the air. As of the time, yeah, they were asking us to go and hire mercenaries. I remember before we came in. But our soldiers are doing their best in these circumstances. Thank you.
This is Morning Crossfire.
All right, there. That's the minister there, making it clear with regards to that. Now, take a deeper listen to this. I'm just going to spend a few minutes to play another part of what he said with regards to Nigeria's security. Better now, than when we had it before. Well, by the way, he was referring to the IRA, which was a group that pretty much had its own events, set of events in the United Kingdom. They were a revolutionary army affiliated with the Irish at the time. And, well, the approach and the demands and the ideologies are slightly different. Were they onto killings like we have in Nigeria? Is it exactly the same comparative that one would know, comparative that one would consider with what IRA was trying to achieve on the number of people that were killed during their time compared to what Nigeria is experiencing? That's something to check as well. Did the president at any time talk about by February or by sometime next year we'll have eliminated terrorism? Yes. Did the Minister of Information try to say no government can actually say that? Yes. So that's a contradiction for me, because I remember clearly, I'm looking forward to February 2022, there was a mention by the president, and I don't mind going to look for the tape, just to get everybody to up to speed on that. Well, we would see a situation where in February 2022, terrorism and the likes of that will have been... Why am I even mentioning that? That has been said several times, over and over again, completely eliminated. Oh, I missed my auto plus. I just remembered I had the clip there. So many have been said. So much have been said about that. But he explains even better on the side of the government. Take a listen to this.
In 2014, what was the situation? In 2015, what was the situation? Today, what is the situation? I said, many people forget that in 2015, 2014, Abuja was not safe. As a matter of fact, I remember I was then the opposition spokesperson. Anytime I was coming to Abuja, I would make sure I did not sleep in Abuja, because Abuja was not safe. You were here in Abuja when the United Nations headquarters was attacked. You were here when the police headquarters was attacked in Abuja by Boko Haram. You were here when the motor park. So what I'm saying is that what is happening today with Boko Haram? And I said in my press conference that in 2014-2015 that a territory the size of Belgium was under the effective occupation of Boko Haram. Not only were they attacked, introduced.
Okay, so keeping up with what he said, just give me a moment. Here we go. Yeah.
They were in situ. They set up government. They were collecting taxes. They deposed emirs and, you know, and installed their own emirs before we came in. In 2015, 5th of December, I don't know which of you followed us to Bama here. When we got to Bama in 2015, of the 6,000 houses in Bama, not one was standing. They had been bombed by Boko Haram. In 2015, 14 out of 20 local government area in Borno State was in the complete, you know, control of Boko Haram. 14 out of 20. And how many people could go to Northeast then? Schools were closed, hospitals were closed, life was paralyzed. Today you can go to Maiduguri, you can go to anywhere, and you see life has been resumed.
This is Morning Crossfire.
I'll leave you to make the best of that, and follow through with the understanding of that. Today you can go anywhere. Abuja is here for today, compared to 2014-2015. That's the assertion. An evolution of the Minister of Information with regards to this. Okay, so somebody served in the Nigerian government for some time. Was the Minister of Agriculture, former Minister of Agriculture, Aldo Obi. He also had some few things to say. I hope to play that for you as we go on. He talks about life has never been this tough. Aldo Obi tells federal government to stop killings. I'm going to play for you what he said as we go on the show. Let me read off some of your messages this morning and then get back to the phone lines in a few minutes as well. All right, so some of the things you've written in with regards to our conversation thus far. Good morning, Femi D. The North is really losing a lot of human beings. They may not understand now until the bandits spread across the northern states. Gradually, Kaduna, Zamfara, Katsina, Borno, Niger, Taraba, Sokoto State are always on the news. Advise that the governors of the northern region should seek advice from Governor Yaya Bello of Kogi State on how to tackle security situation in the north. I agree with the suggestion that Tinubu should not contest. Nigeria needs a strong man or woman who is not biased and who will be ready to tackle insecurity with all the military might. We need a change with human face. General Sojemba did write that in this very morning. Good morning, Femi D. Okay, here's the next one. Good morning, Femi D. Lawa promised to help Buhari to achieve campaign promises. Is it when everybody are killed? Thanks to APC, all their supporters that will never see anything wrong in this administration. Elder Amao from Yaya Abuja did write it in. Good morning, FMD. You refer to one of the headlines that said one Mr. Kechiku said Tinubu should not run for presidency come 2023. I thought every Nigerian has the right to run from his or her zone. Please, Okechukwu should run from his own zone and leave Tinubu alone. Abdulaziz from Cuba did write that in. That's the Von DG is the one you're referring to as Okechukwu. Okay, just to check in with you on that. OJ says, good morning, Nigerian. For what stop Kaduna states to form state security as some of the other states have done? Okay, that's your question. Here we go. Dario from Gwags also writes in this morning. He says, good morning, Nigeria Info. Please, can you tell me one project that this government has done under President Buhari in the FCT? Under this current FCT minister, I challenge all the APC supporters to mention one project that this government started in the FCT and completed. PDP opened up Kuba Airport Road, constructed all the roads and bridges in Abuja. I thought this government would also construct Maraba Yaya Road. Common street lights, a light bulb, they can change. I pray that God will deliver us from this situation that is upon us. Dari from Gwagwalada did write that in. The government should tell us that they are short of ideas of how to tackle insecurity in this country. But if they If they don't, they should please seek for foreign help. Emeka from NAPC Towers did write the team. Good morning, FMD. This is Tope. Oh, hi, Tope. Good morning to you as well. Wow, I love the music, says Selassie. Ambassador from Amale, Niger State, I really sympathize with you. How can you protect yourself with bare hands? Selassie is asking that question, which is one major, major issue that continues to linger on. Hamrede Fodu, your message is long, so I'm just going to read a part of it. Dr. Anadre Info Family, good morning. The news item that a child was sold for 50,000 by his parent in the case of our nation's retrogression into what Dr. Onoja called minimalism, and is still in progress. It shocks me that the past leaders didn't do too much to nip the current plunge in anarchy in the board. For the current leadership, if after 61 years of independence we have not got things right, it means that all the government strategies in solving our social ills are not working, which is a negation of what our ancestors has before the coming of the white man. Thank you, Comrade Defender. As always, I encourage you, keep it short, and there is likely to be read to the end. All right, let's read what Shegun also did write in this morning. Shegun says, President Muhammadu Buhari is declined to sign the Electoral Act Amendment Bill. Lawmakers should override President Muhammadu Buhari by passing the bill into law, but it shouldn't be only that. Mr. President should be impeached. If not, Mr. President has the power to make the new Electoral Act not to be effective perfectly, just the way it happened in Kogi State during the senatorial election between Smart and Dino Melaye. Boko Haram set houses ablaze in Borno State. For how long will it take this government to stop security, the terrible security situation and challenges? Jonathan stopped Boko Haram from operation before he left office to extend that election to the extent that election was held in other parts of the country. Compared to this administration, where 2019 election could not hold in few places in Borno State due to insurgents. All right, okay. Across the point of view, 15 psychiatric hospitals are to be built in the southeast. For what? That's the question I'm getting here from Jeff. I also read that headline. I was wondering, why is psychiatric hospital? Why? All right. Can you see how the governors rally round and ensure that the president does not sign the Electoral Act, and they can't rally behind the president to end insecurity, hunger, unemployment, abject poverty, squalor ravaging the country? My only happiness is that there is no separate market for the whalers and hailers, Leo writes that in. Good morning, FMD. Question to ask. Apart from Amale, is there no other person to report the situation in Upper Niger State? Every day, just one person keep hitting the word about insecurity in Niger State. If what we hear is true, why school market offices are still in operation? I live in Niger State. We are still hoping, shopping for many things said above. Let's not destroy our dear country in the name of politics. Wareke Nyadon. Okay. So, just to mention, he has been talking about, Part B of Niger State. I don't know Niger State well enough to know what part is what, but I also can assert to you that the state government, did confirm that some few places have been taken over by bandits in that very state. So, it is of truth to say so, okay? They did confirm that on Friday. If you follow the show on Friday, I didn't mention it, okay? Femdi, why are we not discussing cannibalism going on in Imo State, please? I don't know. Okay, Femdi, I totally align myself with that desperate opposition are using and fueling hate actions to always miss to blackmail Mr. President in their bid to play down on his legacy achievement, thinking that it will put the position on the lead towards the 2023 election. Okay, Patrick, thanks for your message, but quite a long message as well. Keep it short, and we'll be able to do more of the talking. All right, stay with us. I'll take more calls when we come back from the 8 o'clock, when we are on the 8 o'clock hour. And yes, questions of the year 2021 will be reviewed as we would have it over and over again. But there's really more to say with regards to things. Coming up on the 8 o'clock hour, listen to what Aldo Ogbe talks about insecurity in the country. These and many more mix are part of our conversation right here on Morning Crossfire with Family Lives. Stay with me.